Good evening. It's really good to see a good crowd of you tonight. Thank you for coming back. I hope we can be encouraged together and enjoy the study of the scripture in this lesson tonight. As I think about lessons to develop that will help the brethren, I always try to keep it in the basics because I know there's a lot of new members sometimes, so there's a lot of members still growing, and just keeping it simple is the best thing to go, I believe, sometimes. And developing a topic, I might be thinking about maybe a study on prayer or maybe a study on giving or so on and so forth. But thinking about reading the Bible, I think is fundamental for every Christian. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I heard in the morning, maybe I think it was Randy who mentioned that we may be slowing down on the reading tree, which maybe this message might be helpful to encourage us on that. I hope so. If not, this can be encouraging for us as living our Christian lives. But when we think about the benefits of reading the Bible, I think that's a topic that can encourage us to read the book. When we think about the benefits of something, it will encourage us to do that which we endeavor to do. And there's of course a lot of benefits when we read the Bible. And to draw some lessons for tonight, as we think about this, please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 17. That's going to be 17. It's going to be our text for tonight. And Deuteronomy chapter 17. And I'm going to be reading a few verses beginning in verse 14. And we're going to get our lesson from there tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 17, and don't lose it because we'll stay there. And we analyze a few verses in this section, but Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 and forward. Let's begin the reading. When you come to the land, and let me just warn you before we read, this is a prophecy, or this is a law, rather, of what's going to happen later down the road in case they wanted to establish a king. And sure enough, they did, and God foreseeing this, he made provisions for when this king will be established later down the road. So he gave some instructions concerning this. Notice, verse 14, when you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and possess it, and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like the nations that are around me, you shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren, you shall set as a king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you, who is not your brother, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses, for the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. Verse 18, and it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of the law in a book from the one before the priest, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of his law, and these statutes, that his heart might not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from one commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. Looking at this latter section of this reading, beginning in verse 18, we're going to see some benefits of reading the scriptures. And I think this should motivate us from the book to read our scriptures, to read our Bible. There's nothing like just sitting and reading the Bible and then reaping the benefits from reading the Bible. Because if one book is going to bring benefits, it's going to be the Bible. If one book is going to help us in our Christian life, help us life in general, it's going to be the Bible. If one book is going to tell us the truth, tells us where we stand, help us make change, help us correct our way, tell us the way it is, it's going to be the Bible. And so it is important for us to be motivated to read the Bible. And I know this is a congregation that reads the Bible. I'm not preaching this sermon because I think you don't read the Bible, but I think we can always benefit from seeing the benefits of reading the scriptures. So notice in the first place, reading the Bible in the first place produces security. Notice verse 19. Going back to Deuteronomy 17, verse 19, notice that he should make a copy from the book, and then verse 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, notice the benefit, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, that he may learn. When you learn, when you get the information, now you know what to do. When you get the information, now you know how to ace the test. This is something that gives us security. So the king was to read the book of the law that he may be sure in what he was doing. There's no doubt that the Lord is asking him to do what he's doing. So that's for, this is one of the benefits from him reading the book and for us reading the book. Now when we come think about the Bible gives us security. Everywhere we read in the scriptures, for example, the greatest questions of man, man's origin, the answer is in the Bible, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let it have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth under the earth. And then verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. It's security, we know where we're coming from. Security on this. Also, we know about our purpose. Remember Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Solomon wrote, let us hear the conclusion of all this matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty, all man's duty. Now we know our purpose. Now when it comes to our destiny, the Bible is also clear and gives us security about our destiny. We're not in blind or in doubt about what's going to happen after we die. Remember, in Matthew 25, verse 46, he says, and this will go away into everlasting punishment, and the other righteous will go into everlasting life. And then Jesus told his disciples as well in John 14, remember 1 through 3, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go therefore to prepare a place for you, and if we come back again, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you, receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. We know what's going to happen. We know what Jesus is doing right now. We know what's going to happen in the future. We have that security. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. We know there's going to be a day of judgment. So Bible gives us security. Now when it comes to salvation, we also know what to do to be saved because the scriptures gives us that security. So reading the Bible produces security. If you think about it, there was this nobleman coming from Ethiopia. And as he was riding back home in his chariot, then Philip came and approached him. And this man was reading the scriptures. And then in Acts chapter 8, we read that beginning from that scripture, he preached to him the gospel of Christ, beginning from the scripture. So much is the security the scripture gives us that this Ethiopian nobleman said, wait, there's water here. What hinders me from being baptized? I know now what to do. I am sure. There's no doubt. I've been in Judaism for so long. I've been a proselyte, this, that, and the other. Now I know what I must do to be saved, and I'm taking the initiative. I want to be baptized right now. Imagine that kind of security nowadays. There's a different denomination. There's so insecureness concerning religious practices in our world today that this man was able to find security in the scriptures. It wasn't what Philip thought that he could do. It was what the scriptures told him to do. Now, in Acts 17, we read also about the Bereans. And we learn how the Bereans searched the scriptures daily, notice, to find out whether these things were so. If the scriptures didn't give them security, why search the scriptures to see if these things were so? That so is the stand, the rock solid where we can stand and we can know for sure what to do, how to behave, where we're going, where we come from, and what is our purpose here in this life. So the Bible gives us security. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12? A verse that I really like. He said, for this reason I also suffer, he said. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. And notice this word, and I am persuaded. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until the last day. And I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Timothy. I know we just read that verse, but let's go to 2 Timothy 1. Let me illustrate what this word persuaded means. This word persuaded comes from the Greek peito, and it means, translated, to attain certainty. So Paul is saying, I have attained certainty. I know for sure. I am confident. I have no doubt. I have attained certainty. Paul, how certain are you about that God is going to keep his promise? How certain are you? Notice 2 Timothy, 1:5. Notice, he's talking to Timothy, and he says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and then notice the word, and I am persuaded that is in you also. How certain, Paul, are you of the word of God? As certain I am as I know Timothy, as certain I am as I know him firsthand, as certain I am that Timothy is a Christian, that's how certain I am when I read the scripture. It's pretty certain. So when we read the scripture, it's going to give us confidence. It's going to give us security. Not only that, reading the scriptures also is going to give us piety, to be pious. Okay? So notice going back to Deuteronomy 17, if you don't lose that section, we're going to just read a few verses there. But then going back to Deuteronomy 17, notice verse 19. Notice that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. That's the first part. And be careful to observe all the words of this law and this statute. Notice, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and this statute. This word observe, the Hebrew word for this is shama. And there's different shades of this word, but this shama meaning, notice what it means. It means to hedge about, like putting a fence. It means this word to exercise great care over. This is what the word shama means. Exercise great care over. Like hedge about, like with thorns, putting a fence around. And if you remember, Adam was put in the garden to dress it and to do what? And to shama it, to keep it, to exercise great care over the garden. That's the same word is used here to exercise great care over the words of this book. So when we read the Bible, we're going to find this piety. We're going to be righteous people. We're going to know the word of God. We're going to know what God wants us to do. So the first part is hearing the word. It gives us security. The second part, to observe, it can be translated to keep. Now that I heard it, I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to let it just go through one ear and then go out the other ear. I'm going to keep it. It's not going to go out the other ear. It's going to stay in my heart. It's going to stay in my mind. It's because I'm going to exercise great care over what I'm hearing. In this case, reading the Bible, I'm going to exercise great care over what I'm reading. And the Bible is not a novel that we can just read and just have fun and then forget all about it. The Bible is a book that we should keep the words that we read on it. That's the importance of this book. So it's very interesting. Notice, if you are in Deuteronomy 17, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and then notice something very interesting. I know I'm reading from the New King James, but you may be reading from the King James. You're going to notice something very special here. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and then beginning in verse 1, notice, and Moses called over Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, notice, that you may learn them, first step, hear, have security, and then that you may be careful, or that you may keep them, the King James says. And then the third step, that's the part of keeping. And then the third step, keep them to observe them. Notice. So we take this word shema, it is right the second word of this list of three actions. So we might be looking at the word that is in the middle from hearing and doing. I'm not going to go straight from hearing to doing. There's a step in the middle where I hear, I have confidence, I have security. Now I keep it on my heart, keep it on my mind. Like Psalm 119 said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I keep it. Now the third step is to do it. This is very interesting when we learn about this. So this might be the middle step between hearing and doing, to keep the word of God, to guard it, to put it in my long-term memory, to think about it, so I can store it in my heart. That is what reading the Bible produces. Now let me read some examples of this word Shema in other verses of the Bible. For instance, in Genesis 18:19, remember when Abraham, when the angels were going to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy them, God was wondering whether or not, talking to the angels, whether or not tell Abraham what he was going to do to that city. And he said, I'm going to tell him what I'm going to do. Notice verse in Genesis 18:19, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him that they keep. He's going to command his family after him that they keep, that they store, that they think about the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. I know that he would teach his family to keep, to store, to put in long-term memory, and even to memorize the scripture, to keep it on their hearts. How can you put to action something you don't have in your heart? How can you put to action something you don't have in your mind? And how can you put that in your mind if you don't read the Bible and hear it first? So we're looking here at the second step. So this is another way. Now notice Deuteronomy 4:2. There's another text that uses the word Shema or keep. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep, again, that you may shema the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. So if I take away and if I add to it, I may be storing in my heart something that is not in the book, and if I take away from it, I may be lacking to store something that I should be storing in my heart, in my mind. That's why you should not add to the word that I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep it holy, completely, just like it is. And then Joshua 23:6, another example. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, notice, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Now, how can I keep it? How can I store it? Well, the answer is simple. First, by reading it. Remember the many religious leaders? They might have read the book, or maybe they even might not have read the book, but if they read it, they didn't store it, it just came one ear and left the other one, because many times Jesus told them, have you not read? Have you not read? So everything starts by reading. So Jesus implies that we should be reading. Now remember Psalm 1:1-2? Blessed is the man who meditates upon the word of God, and his delight is on the word of the Lord, and in it he thinks about day and night. So there's the meditation part. So we read it, we meditate upon it, and we also apply it. That's the way we can store. Now, this is the second step. Now, let's look at the third step. The first place, reading the Bible produces security. In the second place, reading the Bible produces piety. I know the word of God and keep it in my heart. But notice in the third place, the reading the word of God produces also activity. If we go to Deuteronomy 17 again, where we started, I'm reading again from my beginning, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, number one, and be careful to observe all the words of the law and these statutes, that he may do them. That the King James uses the word to do them, to put into practice, to perform them. The New King James combines the word to keep and to do in one phrase. But the King James separates them and is accurate. The King James accurate is two words, two separate words. One is Shema and the other one is Aser. So there's two words there. So New King James is just trying to combine it in one. But that's no problem. We can analyze that and learn that there's two words. So to do them, Deuteronomy 17:19. If you remember King Josiah, notice 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 24. In 2 Kings 23 and 24, we learn about King Josiah and a few chapters there in 2 Kings. But when King Josiah heard the word When he understood what the word said, he did not stay idle. He did not just stay put where he was and didn't care about what he heard. He put it to action. Notice, for example, verse 24, where he reads, Second Kings 23 and verse 24. Notice what it says. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spirits, the household of gods and idols, and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he may act the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. I don't know if you noticed, have you read this, or if have you heard this, but this is the very reason the Canaanites were doomed to be killed. Because of these sins that Josiah put away. These are the very sins all of Josiah's antecessors and most of his descendants had a problem with. They had a struggle with. They couldn't take him away, but Josiah, when he read the book, he put it into action and he took all of this false god away, all of this abomination away, all of these magicians and so on and so forth, sorcerers and whatever, that he took him away because that's what the word said and he just put it to action. That's it. Nothing less, nothing more. Just put to action what the word says and do what is expected of you. That's what happened with King Josiah. Reading the Bible produces activity. And we remind, for instance, James 1, 22 and 25, where he speaks about be doers of the word and not hearers only, because if we're just hearers only, we're deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, that one will be blessed in all that he does. The doer of the word will be blessed. And by reading the Bible, we get the benefit of being able to do it. And then we will be blessed. There's many benefits from reading the scriptures. Now, there's more Bible text that explains about it. But it produces activity on ourselves and it starts in the heart. And there's a section of the scriptures that I really enjoy reading. And it's in Luke chapter 24, and I'm not going to read it all, but I'm just going to mention it to you. You remember those two men that were on the way to Emmaus? And then the Lord appears to them on the road, and they didn't recognize him, and they start talking about the events and how they were talking about what had happened, and then how Jesus, in a way, gets upset because they didn't understand what was written in the scriptures. So as they were walking along the way to this town, he said, the Bible says in Luke 24, 27 and on, that Jesus, beginning at Moses, notice, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. What? He found all the things concerning himself. Notice where Jesus started, in the scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures. Same scriptures the kings were required to make a copy of, to read of, and to keep by their side, so that they can hear and keep and perform the law of God. This is where Jesus started, and then they came near to a village, and then they invited him into the village, asked him to abide with them, and then because he was late, so he stayed with them. And then they sat together, and they took bread, and then blessed and broke it. And then verse 31, notice, then their eyes were open, and they realized who he was. And as soon as they realized who he was, the Bible says he vanished from them. But what I like to read is verse 22 in Luke 24. Notice, reading the Bible or hearing about it produces activity. Notice, and they say to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? But notice more specifically, while he opened the scriptures to us, didn't our heart burn inside of us while he opened the scriptures to us? It produces activity. Your heart moves, your mind moves, your body moves. Everything moves when you read the Bible. That's the benefit that it should produce. We become active Christians, doers of the word. And I know I've told you this story before, but I think I cannot stop but think about a man when I read about this section of the Bible. And I know that some of you might not heard the story, some of you might have already heard it, but for the benefit of those who have not heard it, I'm going to tell it again. But this was this man. I was about 15 years old, and I was visiting my family in Houston. There was some Bible conferences there, and I met a man from Honduras. And this old man from Honduras had a stack of pictures. And he showed it to me, and I said, "Who are all of these?" He said, "Well, these are, I'm bringing these pictures to show to a brother here in Houston who baptized me back in the day in Honduras." That brother was visiting Houston. He was just for a few days, and he went back home. But he had a stack of pictures of brethren, because he worked in about three different congregations that he established in Honduras. And I'm going to show these pictures to this brother who baptized me so that he can see the fruit of his work through me. And I was really, well, that's amazing. Then he talked to me and he said, "Raphael," because I used to, when I sleep on the carpet, I would carry my Bible and I would sleep, use it as a pillow and so on. I was very close to my Bible. And he said, "Raphael, have you ever cried when you read the Bible?" And I said, what are you talking about? He said, "Should we cry when we read the Bible? Is this a novel or what? I don't know. Have you cried when you read the Bible? Because when you read the Bible with a tender heart, when you are attentive to the heart, to what the Bible says, it's going to produce something in you. It's going to produce activity. Your heart is going to get tender if you are already a tender heart. And it should move you to tears in some sections when you read about the crucifixion of Christ and so on and so forth." After he told me that, I tried to be more careful when I read the Bible. The answer was no, I have not cried before when I read the Bible. That man, he was so devoted to God. He was such a great evangelist. I'm just using this as an illustration. But a few years later, after I met him, he was killed by some gang members, killed him on the road. So I was sad, but he was a man who lived for Christ. And he gave me the lesson that the scriptures motivate you. The scriptures should move you. Then notice something else. Not only produces activity, the Bible also produces humility. And this is very significant. No one who preaches, no one who comes close to the Bible, no one who comes close to the scriptures can be consumed by pride, can be consumed by selfishness, because the Bible is not designed to produce that kind of attitude on us, much less the preachers. But now we come in the pulpit, people are so graceful to listen to us, and then we start thinking we're more than we deserve. And I was thinking about, there was a preacher and his wife, they just finished preaching a meeting, and I know this preacher, he told us the story, and he said to his wife, "Wife, how many great preachers do you think there are?" And his wife answered to him, "Well, there's one less than you think there are." And he said, and she was keeping him low. Okay, so when we read the scriptures, it's going to produce in us humility. Humility. Now again, notice Deuteronomy 17 and verse 20. Deuteronomy 17:20, notice that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. When he makes a copy of the law, when he reads it, when he meditates upon it, keeps it and practices it, then his heart might not be lifted up above his brethren. Who is this man that he may be chosen to be king? God chose him. He wasn't chosen because he was the most brilliant man. He wasn't chosen because he was the most handsome man. God chose him and appointed him as king and sold all the descendants. Some of them became kings because his daddy was a king. There's no reason to be proud of. There's no reason to boast yourself. I mean, you should be proud of being the king, yes, but there's no reason to boast yourself on that. It should produce in you humility. And who's going to keep you humble? Reading the scriptures. Now, so when we pan the pages of the scripture, when we give the book to someone on the street, or we read it ourselves, we're going to come across sections like Philippians 2, 5 through 8. And we're going to read about through humility. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, and even to the death of the cross." When you read about it, what is it going to produce on you? It's not going to produce proudness or selfishness. This should produce humility when you see the example of Christ. When you read in 2 Corinthians 8:9, how Jesus, for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty we may become rich. That's humility. And that's in the scriptures. Also, we read about in Matthew 20 and 27 and so on, where we read the sections of Jesus' ministry when he said his disciples or his the apostles were arguing who might be the greatest among them. And then he answers them, what's going on? Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave or your servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. True servanthood, we read in the scriptures. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on tree, that we, having died to sins, may live righteously, by whom stripes you were also healed. Again, we read about humility in the Bible. Now, if you think about the divided kingdom, you think about the time when Solomon left the earth and then his son Rehoboam came into power. He was given an opportunity to reign above all the tribes. He was given that opportunity. It was up to him. But this son of Solomon, he became so proud, he became so full of himself, that when the people approached him, asked him to please lower the taxes, to please lower the burden that his father Solomon had put on him, he thought he was better than Solomon. And then he answered to them, and then he answered to the people, and then he said, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to you, to your yoke, my father chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scorpions, and then another version, scourges. I'm better than my dad. I'm gonna be heavier on you than my dad because I am a better person than my dad. I'm proud. Evidently, he didn't have the copy of the book by his side. Now, when you come about, think about King Josiah. When King Josiah read in the book, and it was read to him, notice what attitude it produced on him. In 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. I'm reading this text. I cannot stop but read them. But now notice what happened. 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard. Notice, he read from the scriptures. Because your heart was tender, and then notice, and you what? You humble yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they will come to a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Two different attitudes. Rehoboam, King Josiah. What attitude did you take when you read the scriptures? Are we reading the scriptures? That's the question. Are we motivated by these benefits of reading the scriptures? When we read the scriptures, we become humble. We become like Christ. The more we're away from the scriptures, we become more proud of our accomplishments, of who we are, or what we have done to get where we are. But the scriptures gives us humility and put us in our place. Now, I want to address one more benefit from reading the scriptures, and then we'll finish. In fact, I'm going to mention two more, and I'm going to make them brief. But then going back to Deuteronomy 17, notice the last few verses there. I began reading verse 19, and I'm in verse 20, Deuteronomy 17. Notice verse 20, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. And then notice another benefit from reading the scriptures, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand, nor to the left. Reading the Bible produces fidelity. How can I be faithful if I don't know what to do? How can I know where is the left and where is the right and where is the line that I go away or go out of the boundaries God has set if I don't find them in the book, if I don't read them in the scriptures? That's what produces reading the scriptures, fidelity. There was another king in the time of Roboam. There was this king, Jeroboam, and he became unfaithful. He went away from the book and he did what he pleased concerning the worship to God. Not what the Bible said, he just wandered away. But if you remember the example of Jesus, how did he defend himself when he was tempted? How did he remain faithful when he was tempted in the body? He quoted scriptures. He defended himself and he quoted the scripture back to Satan. So in order to be faithful, the Christian must do only that which is written in the Bible. That's how we can stay faithful. If we don't read the Bible, we're in the danger that we can hear comments, that we can hear some other opinions, that we can be drifted away by what other people are doing. But when we read the scriptures, then we can remain faithful. That's one of the benefits from reading the Bible. Now, a last benefit from reading the Bible. Notice, according to this section of the scriptures, that his heart, my heart might not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right nor to the left, and then notice, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, and he and his children in the midst of Israel. If this king was to make a copy of the law, if this king was to keep a copy of the law close to him, if this king was to read the law closely, hear it, keep it, do it, be humble, now this was going to give him the benefit of living a long life. Isn't this great? Isn't this a great benefit from reading the scriptures? That he may prolong his days in his kingdom. As a matter of fact, later in the book of Deuteronomy, I'm not going to read it, but in chapter 28 and in both sections of chapter 28, first part of the chapter is going to talk about the consequences of obedience. And the latter part of chapter 28 in Deuteronomy is going to talk about the consequences of disobedience. And how can you obey? How can you disobey if you don't know the scriptures? Of course, if you don't know the scriptures, you are more prone to disobey because you don't know what to do. But if you know the scriptures, now you can obey and you can receive the blessings. But if you disobey, there's curses and there's going to be consequences because of disobedience. And among those is going to be death. So we keep the Bible near us and we read it. When we find out that we should love our wives, when we shall find out that we shall love our neighbor as ourselves, that's going to keep us from trying to be jealous of them, trying to find a way to hate them and a way to harm them. That's going to keep us away from it. It's going to give us a long life. If we read from the Bible that we should stay away from the lust of the flesh, we should stay away from the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life, then that's going to give us a long life. Remember what Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 said, those who covet money, they become prey on many harms and dangers that sink them in perdition. But the Bible warns us about these types of sin, and it gives us a long life. It keeps us away from addictions, keeps us away from bad habits, keeps us away from treating others badly, and that is going to prolong our lives. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians 6, remember, this promise is also restated. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Remember, in the law of Moses, those who broke the law of Moses were condemned to death. Those who violated the Sabbath were to be stoned. Those who disrespected their parents were to be killed. And there were some ways that you were to be punished in the law of Moses, and that didn't prolong your life. But if you knew what the law of Moses said, if you knew the scriptures, in this example from the Old Testament, if we as Christians know what the Bible says, that's going to keep us living longer. And how sad it is when we find out that because of suicide, because of depression, because of different oppressions of the mind, there's young people who take their lives away. When we can read in the Scripture the beauty of life, when we can read in the Scripture the purpose we have as human beings and then as Christians, and when we can read that there's hope, that we can read there's salvation, there's peace, that Christ takes away our load, then we see that we can live longer when we read from the Scripture. So there's many benefits from reading the Scriptures, and I've already taken more time than I was intended to. So if there's any way that I can assist you, we can assist you tonight in responding to the Lord's invitation, please do so while we stand and while we sing.